Our Bible reading is taken from Matthew 25, from verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
We continue our quarter theme, the urgency of the last days. And today's sermon is Be Faithful Stewards of God's Resources. We have our Brother Udobong Idemeto, to share the word of the Lord with us today. You're welcome, sir.
Good morning, church. It's always a joy to be back here, and my family and I cannot forget this church. This was where the last prayer for us to go on mission field was offered on the 17th of December, 2006. And that was a Sunday, and that was, a Christmas Day. And I discovered that this year also, 17th December is also a Sunday. And you are going also to have a youth Christmas Day. So it's a privilege and it's a pleasure to be back. And also to see some people that actually sent us off here. Some of them are here and new faces are also here. If you remember that time, you will struggle to find gray hair in my head at that time. But now you need a magnifying glass to find a dark hair on my head at the time. But God has been faithful. So I want to thank you, thank the worship directorate for inviting me to come and share this morning. But also, the world we are living today, we understand the artificial intelligence is taking over the future. Already they're here. In fact, even in our hand devices. Some young people have to help me. When I type "Dear Brother Bio," he will change it to "Dear Brother Barry." And then I will type "Dear Idoreyen." Then he will change it to "Dear Identity." And when I type "Chukudi," he will change it to "Church." At least there's some connection between Chuku and church. So that's the world we are going to enter into more. But we thank God, our Almighty God does not forget our name. He does not substitute our name. He knows us by name and cannot replace our name with somebody else. Let's pray. Father, we believe that this morning you have a message for each one of us through this passage. For me as well, we ask, O Lord, whatever you had in store for us, that nothing, just like the prayer we heard, nothing will take it away. May you take over now and guide me as I share your word, that each message for each person will be exactly what you want. And may you take all the glory, and may we honor you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. We've been looking at the entire topic of being ready for the last day. And today's topic is being faithful stewards of God's resources. The passage read for us in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, is in the middle of three stories. The background to chapter 25 of Matthew is chapter 24, where Jesus discusses the end of the age and his second return. And every generation since the first century have lived with the consciousness and conviction of immediate return of Christ. You need to see that in 1 and 2 Thessalonians and also the letter to the Corinthians. They live as Jesus was coming the next time. Some went even to the other extent that they didn't do anything else because they were expecting any second he will come. That was what Thessalonians was about. And Paul had to actually warn them that they should continue to walk because nobody knows the day. The things that are happening in the world today, particularly in the Middle East, confirm to us that we too need to live with the full assurance that any moment Christ could come and might come. So Jesus told the story of his second return in chapter 24, and in chapter 25, he gave three stories, two parables and one revelation. The first parable, I think you might have heard of it last week, the 10 virgins. And we are looking into the second parable this morning, which is the parable of the talents. Next week, God willing, you hear about the revelation of actually what will happen. And in each of these three stories, you find there are two sets of people. Those that are commended and those that are condemned. Whether it is the first one or the one we are going to look at today, you will see two sets of people. And the question for us is, which one will I belong in the two? I think that's a challenge that we have. So, let's see what is the relevance of the parable of the talent to us today. Number one, I want to say that each of us is a custodian or steward of God's resources. We are all stewards of God's resources. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, to each of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. To each of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. He didn't say to some of us, but to each of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Second thing is that stewards need to be faithful. As stewards, we are called to be faithful. It's in the scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, people need to know us as servants of God and stewards of God's resources. It is required of every steward to be faithful. So faithfulness and stewardship are linked every time, whether in the everyday life or in the scripture. When you are a steward of somebody else, he expects that you will keep it. You are trustworthy. That's why you are reliable. That's why you are made to be a steward. And God is the greatest of all investors. Any resources he gives us, he would like to have maximum return on the investment. And so, we need to know, first of all, what are the resources that God has given to me, so that we can know how do we handle it and become faithful. So I would like us to look at what are the resources that God has given to us now. Number one is time. Time is one of the greatest resources that we have. 24 hours is given to everyone on earth. Doesn't matter which section of the world you live, it's 24 hours. And each of us has the responsibility to know how do we use the 24 hours of the day. Very important. And we will account for it, which is a great challenge. My friend shares something in his book. He wrote a book recently and talk about he lives in a very busy city, almost, I should say, like Lagos in terms of traffic. And what he does is that he has read 20 books each year because he puts book on his car, audio books. And while he's in traffic, he's listening to books. And the audio Bibles as well. We can use that we can use. So that instead of wasting our time and quarreling with people that cut into our face as we drive on the day, we listen to the word of God. Or listen to a book that might value you. So there are different ways we can make use of the 24 hours of the day. As you know, we live in South Africa, and we've been ministering there for some time now. There's a place they call SARS. That's where you go and declare your tax. And if you don't, they come after you. And they're very strict there. So you need to every year go to the SARS, which is a government establishment. And recently I had to go there, but what I did was I carried a book that I'm reading with me because I knew I was planning for 2 hours, but I ended up with 3 hours. But in that process, I was reading the book I was already carrying. And so I did not feel frustrated. I was not quarreling. I was just waiting for my turn. So there are different ways we can make sure we maximize our time. The second resource we have is life. I remember in the early days, some of you who are close to my generation will also remember, I would say, every living soul, there was a chorus, so every living soul, praise the Lord. Then we change to, I'm a living soul, praise the Lord. Life is a resource, and one of the greatest, and health as well. It is only the sick people that know the value of health. If we are alive and we are healthy, then our life should bring glory to God. We should live every day to honor God. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible in terms of chapters. You know how the book ends? Psalm 150 verse 6 says, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So long as we are alive and God give us health and give us life, our life is to bring glory to God. And we are to praise God. I think that's a challenge. I need to ask, how do I praise God today? How does my life become a praise and glory to God? time, life, and health. And then the next one, resource we have, relationships. Relationship in the family, relationship in the workplace, friends, colleagues, clients, customers, every encounter that we have is a gift, is a resource. And we are to make the best use of those. How does my interaction with people in my family bring glory to God? That's a question. And sometimes, even the most difficult person in your family is a way that God is using that relationship to train you to be like Him. Love your enemy and pray for those who hate you. That's what the Bible says. So different relationships that we have are resources. And we are to minister to people on the context of the fact that God has given them to us. I was briefly at the Bible study this morning, and I still remember one of the things that were shared about is discipling. Opportunity to disciple. Relationship. To move from just casual church members to the point where we go beyond the Sunday service to where we make impact in people's life. And I don't want to speak for this job, but I know that many young people here who are looking forward to be mentored. And I also believe that there are many, many experience. In fact, this congregation has experience equipped that you can't compare with any other congregation in this country. So how are we taking advantage of those opportunities? The young people for older ones to mentor you and to share their life with you that can improve your future, and for the old people to make themselves available for the young people to do so. Relationships in the family, in the workplace, in the community where you live and where you work. And for those of you who might be students, even in your school or in colleges or university, that's important. The next one is very important, salvation. For us to know Christ is a big step that God has taken. It's an investment on us. And we are saved to serve. If we were just to go to heaven because we are saved, God would have just been walking so that immediately you become a Christian, you are in heaven because that's the best place to be. That's what Paul said. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, it would have been better for me to go and be with Christ in heaven. But it is more necessary for you that I stay. That is in Philippians. So, our salvation makes us become witnesses of Christ and ambassadors of Christ. We are all ambassadors of Christ as believers. And God expects wherever I am, I represent Him. Just like ambassadors of Nigeria, whichever country they're posted to, represent the interests of Nigeria, speak for Nigeria, and commit everything that is important to develop Nigeria and place the Nigerian interest in that country. So we are on earth. We are Christ's ambassadors. That's what Paul says. It's not my word. It's from 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think. Yeah, verse 20. He says, we are ambassadors of Christ. So we are called to take the gospel to the next person on the streets that we encounter in workplaces. So salvation. And God does not leave us alone in this. He has given us what I will call a resource person to guide us. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to me and to you and to the church to guide us. He says, he's our counselor, he's our helper, he's our alongsider, that's a paraclete, and he's also our guide and our teacher. How much am I tapping into the availability of the Holy Spirit to me to listen to Him, to hear from God, and to be able to act on moment-by-moment basis? What God wants me to do and how God wants me to live in that circumstance. Whether in the marketplace, on the streets, at home, or wherever, when I'm on a trip. The Holy Spirit is available. But He's a gentleman. He cannot force me. He cannot prime me. He cannot cajole me to do something. I have to yield to him. I have to seek his help. And that's how God was. That's why he said he comes with a gentle, small voice. So we need to take time. I need to take time to listen, to trust God. Maybe that's why sometimes they say quiet time is good in the morning, because before you go out of your house, you already interacted with God and begin to tune in into what the Holy Spirit wants you to say and to do. Opportunities. And so some of the other things, resources that we have, opportunities. And I will classify here education. Maybe normal education. I will also classify it here as well, exposure and experiences. Education, not just in terms of academic attainment, but also in how God directs your steps in life. We get educated. Exposure, some people have opportunity to travel to different places and travel with different culture, and that is an opportunity that God gives. And God expects us to maximize them. I will come to that. Experiences, some of them can be blessings, some of them can be bereavements, some of them can be achievements, some of them can be adversities. These are resources God giving us, because your experience is given to you to bless others, even in the most adverse condition. If you have gone through experience, gone through a situation, God will bring you to people, other people who may also have similar situation, and you become a resource person to that person to be helped in that circumstance. Or blessings. And lastly, but not the least, material wealth. When we talk about resources, what comes to people's mind is this one, material wealth. Some people are given special grace to know how to create wealth. And they are so wealthy that sometimes they don't know what to do. But as believers, whatever God gives us materially is to be used for the advance of the gospel, for the advance of the kingdom of God. In the Bible study I attended also this morning, somebody quoted Steve Jobs, who was the founder of what we now know as the Apple, Apple Group companies. And he shared how in his deathbed he wished he could do more to people. But we are still alive. For those of us who are very wealthy, this is a time to make use of our resources. Many resources that we have to help other people. But let us, how do we become faithful stewards of God's resources? Permit me to highlight a few areas for us. Number one is to recognize the resources that God has given to you. Some people don't even know that they have those resources. I just hope that some of the things I mentioned above here will help you. That time is a great resource that God has given us. Life, health, relationships, your salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Then also, the time that you have the things that God gives you, appreciate it. Some people have the things that they don't appreciate. The third servant in this story was the one that was given one, and he did not appreciate what he had. And instead of using it, and went and buried it. When you appreciate what you have, then you are able to make use of it. You don't say, I was not made the council chairman this year, therefore I'm not going to serve in this church. No. Where are you in this church? What can you do? You don't have to be council chairman or worship director to be able to serve in this church. I'm sure there are opportunities and there are places we can serve. Number three, apart from recognize what God has given to us, also appreciate it, then the next thing is maximize it. Maximize your resources. The first three servants, you see, one was given five, he brought another five. One was given two, he brought another two. 100% return on the investment for them. I want us to go back to that story and look at the response of the master. Let's look at verses 20 to 23 of that chapter that were read for us. 20 says, "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.'" Verse 21. "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" And then verse 22. "And he who also had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" The one who received 5, the one who received 2, had the same commendation when they made their returns. But my attention is taken to the word that Jesus used here: good and faithful servant. It would have been enough to say faithful servant. Why was the faithfulness need to be qualified? As I ponder over this passage, I believe that it is possible to be faithful but not good. There are people that are maximizing profits but at a cost. There are people that investment that want to exploit people to maximize, not just 100%, but they do it in such a way that it is not glorifying God. When I was living in this city some years back, I remember ministering to some young people who were coming to join the corporate world. And some of the stories they had was the pressure they had, particularly those in the finance institution, I don't know whether it's still so now, was that they had some targets that were almost impossible for them to attend. Particularly if you didn't grow up in Lagos, if you didn't go to King's College, if you didn't go to one of these top schools to be able to have the connection, it was difficult to meet. And what some people did was to use some unethical means to beat the target. And I don't think that honors God. So when I saw this passage, if you look at it, you say, good and faithful servant. So we need to be good and faithful stewards of God's resources. Have the right way to maximize the profit, and God, when God comes, he will commend us like he did to these servants. That's very interesting to see. But the second thing to do is that we must be prepared to give account. But before I get there, I feel what I'm sharing this morning is not only for us as individuals. It's only for people, not only for church as well, but for us as Africans. Currently, Africa has a stake in the global church. And many of you know this. The Nigerians in diaspora, the Africans in diaspora, are making significant improvement to the global church. Currently, Africa has the highest number of Christians as a continent. And we are going to have next year what they call Lausanne Conference in Seoul, South Korea. And Africa is taking a very significant role. So this is a window of opportunity that even as a continent, we must need to maximize the opportunity that God has given. Now, we don't know how long it will go on for. Secondly, Africa has the youngest population of all the continents of the world. And not only in the terms of the number of Christians, but also in terms of age, young Christians. So the future of the church, if the Lord tarries, depends so much on Africa. So we must all sit up as a continent, as a congregation, and as a people to make sure that resources that God gives us is fully utilized. Because there's a day of accounting. Those people came in that story that we've heard here. The master represents God, the servants represent us, and the accounting day is the day that God calls us home or Jesus Christ himself returns. And for that, it's important for us to know, how do we account for the things we have? I would like, before to go on to look at three scriptures quickly. First is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, whatever you do in words or deeds, do it all to the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The second scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Because you know you will receive a reward. Yes. Knowing from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So whatever you are doing, not just anything that are spiritual, but every other thing you do, do it as unto the Lord, because there's a reward that will come at the end. And the third scripture, which I think might be elaborated a lot more next week, God willing, is found in 1 Peter. I want us to look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and we are going to read verses 7 to 11 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read for us verses 7 to 11. Okay. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded. For the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength of that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. That gives a clue, and I think next week you'll see more of those. How do we use the resources? How do we maximize the resources that God has given us? And as I was looking at this section, I'm reminded of a story I read in the biography of one of the former presidents of America who served in the Navy. And he was sharing how, when he was one of the command posts he wanted to go, he had to attend board interview. And they were interviewing him. They asked him, how did you do in your naval academy? And he said, I graduated on the top 10 of my class and was feeling very happy for himself. Then, to his surprise, one of the generals leaned over there and said, was that your best? I did not know how to answer that question. Because when you say top 10 of your class, you either was number 2 or number 10. And somebody was at the top. So when the general said him, was that your best? He couldn't answer. Because he knew either way. And so the question, I think, is, am I doing my best? I feel that if Jesus was to tell this story, this parable, this today, they would have been a fourth servant. A fourth servant who was given 4 talents and he came back with 3. And I feel probably that's where most of us might belong. Even sometimes myself, I feel, have I given my best to what God has given me? That's the question I want us to live with as I finish. Have I given my best? Have I maximized resources that God has given me as Odobong, as you, I mentioned your name there? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. This is what Paul says. It is not the man who commends himself who is approved, but the man whom God commends. On the last day, it is the God's verdict that will stand there. So I'm going to pray now for us and thank God for the opportunity. One thing will be for all that God has given me as we depart this morning, ask the question, have I given my best? Have I done my best? And is what I have now is the best that can be? Or could it be more? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this day. And thank you for the many resources you've given us as your followers. And may you guide us, Lord, to know that we are your stewards. And we need to be faithful. And we need to be not only faithful, but good and faithful in the way we do business, the way we account for the resources. May you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that at the end of the day, whether you come soon or we meet you there, the same word I will say to these first two servants will come to us. Well done, good and faithful servant. To you alone be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.